Perek Aleph of Rus, towards the end. We're going to start tonight from Pasuk Chaf, which is on page 1. But since there aren't so many people here tonight, you can all take 2 handouts, and you can follow my notes on page 9. That way you don't have to turn back and forth all the time. You can just take a look at the notes at the same time, look at the Pasuk. Okay. Vatomer Aleihem. Of course, when Naomi came back, she came to Beis Lechem, and everybody was so astounded to see how Naomi was so, had gone down so much, and how she was so desolate and so ruined compared to how they left Beis Lechem many years previously. So Vatomer Aleihem, Al tikreni li Naomi. She said, don't call me Naomi, which means pleasant. That doesn't describe my current situation. Kreneli mara. Call me bitter. Ki hemar, because shadai limod, because God was very bitter unto me. So there are a number of very interesting points in this pasuk here. The Malbim first of all says that she's trying to explain that normally when we want to see, wow, this person really lost a lot of money, or this person really lost all of their wealth, or all of their good luck, or all of their possessions, we usually want to compare what they had previously to what they have now. Here, she's saying, you don't have to compare what I had previously to what I have now. Even if you don't take into account anything I had previously, you can tell that I am so downtrodden and so low that there is absolutely nothing about me which has anything to do with any other state whatsoever. Independently, one can tell that I'm at the lowest point of the low. So you don't need any comparison. So that's what how the Malbim says here, that explains the Pasuk. Says, don't even forget about any previous stature I had. You don't have to refer back to that. Without any reference to that, you understand how low I've sunk. Rabbi Yosef Lipovitz says that that she was trying to say that her character has changed. She used to be pleasant. That used to be her disposition. Now, in her current disposition, she's a disposition of bitterness. Actually, she's changed from a pleasant person to a bitter person because of her travails. But I believe that there's much more in this pasuk than that. First of all, it's interesting that the pasuk begins, Kireno. Or it's not, it doesn't begin, but we have the word kireno without a hey at the end, right? It's kufresh aleph nun sophis. There's no final hey. And I believe that nun sophis represents a final nefila. Naomi is saying, I've come to a bitter end. There is no hope for me anymore. I will not rise again. We know that the word, the letter Nun is not in the Asher because the letter Nun represents Nefila. Now he's saying that's it. I've undergone a final downfall. And she calls herself Mara, but Mara in Hebrew would really properly be spelled with what letter at the end? A hey. Well, here she says Mara with an Aleph, and that in Aramaic means a shovel. And I believe that what she's saying is that she is dug down into the ground, just like we're told by Yaakov Avinu, when Eliphaz stole all his money for him, ani choshuv kenes, a poor person as if he's dead, she regards herself as if she has died, in other words, as if she's totally come to the end of the road. And the Lashon of Hamar also means, besides bitterness, a Lashon of Tmura. Tmura means to overturn or to change. And she's saying that her whole world has been overturned and completely changed. And that is why also she uses here in this perspective the name of God, Shin Dalad Yud. The name of God, Shin Dalad Yud, represents God's limited revelation in the Bria. Kadosh Baruch Hu, when he created the world, at the end of the process said,
you know what? There's enough of me
revealed here. There's enough of my glory in the world. Die. Sufficient. So therefore, I'm going to not reveal myself anymore. I'm going to curtail
my presence in the world.
And that's really what leads or gives room for misfortune in this world. If God were manifest and present all the time, then there would be no misfortune.
But here, with these,
she describes God as being somewhat distant, somewhat removed. God does not reveal himself, and that alludes
for loud for all for misfortune.
That's one way to read the pasuk.
Well, I like to read the pasuk on a completely different level.
And a level which is, of course, not what Naomi meant, but we know that there are a lot of times in
Chazal where we describe the psukim, we talk about a person as the person prophesied and they weren't aware. Okay. This is especially true where in Tanakh, of course, because in Tanakh we know there's everything is written Baruch HaKodesh, and anything which is written Baruch HaKodesh can have several meanings, several layers of meaning, not just one layer of meaning. So here I'd like to read you the pasuk like this. Ne'imus, she says, Al tikru li Naomi. Ne'imus, pleasantness, connotes shlemus, completion. David Amel says at the end of Kapitel Tez Zayin Etilim, Ne'imus b'mincha netzach. Pleasantness is on your right hand for all eternity. And the Mefarshim explain, what does it mean, Ne'imus b'mincha netzach? That which gives a person eternity is that which makes a person pleasant. And we're not talking about, you know, just having a pleasant disposition. That's nice too. But Na'im means something which is spiritually pleasant, which is complete, which is whole, which is perfect. And we very often in life think that we've reached a stage of perfection relatively early on. Naomi certainly thought when she was married to Elimelech and she had Mahlon and Kilion and they were the Gdolim of the generation, that must have been Shlemus for her. She must have felt that was the high point of her life. She thought she had achieved everything earlier. And there, in that regard, it says, let me go back to the beginning of the pasuk. She says, "Altikrena li Naomi." When did she think she was a shlema with the hay at the end of the word? At many years ago. That's when she was in a state of ne'imus. No, that was when I was complete. But that's not true. In reality, now I'm at the beginning of the process. Kirena li mara, call me bitter. Which means that now I'm beginning only to begin the process of meeting my destiny. We know, min hamar yetze matok. In order to come to something sweet, you have to begin with something bitter. So she's saying, in reality, this is the beginning of the process of my shlemus. Whatever came before is water on the bridge, it didn't count. Now is the time when I'm going to come to my completion and my fruition and my destiny in this world by creating the house of Ruth and Boaz. And she's also likening herself to a shovel. She's about to dig the ground and plant the seed in order to bring about the ultimate redemption through Mashiach who comes out from Ruth and Boaz. Thus, she's also, as we said before a few weeks ago, she's like Miriam. Mara, there's a relationship between Mara and Miriam. Miriam was the catalyst for Amram and Yocheved to get back together again in order to bring about Moshe Rabbeinu's birth. So too here, she is going to be a second Miriam and bring together the Ruth and Boaz. Again, she doesn't necessarily realize she's saying all this. We're darshing the psukim this way. But she's going to bring together Ruth and Boaz in order to bring about the Mashiach, the final redemption. And that's a very interesting parallel. Miriam was probably called Miriam because she was born in the bitterness of the terrible shibud, of the terrible slavery in Egypt. And that also, min hamar yotza maso, from that bitterness in the slavery in Egypt came out the sweetness of the redemption of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Here too, from the bitterness of Naomi's travails and Ruth's travails will come about the sweetness of the Ne'im Zemiros Yisrael, David Amel, who's called the true Noim, truly pleasant because he has that great connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that great Shlemus, which is Naomi is about to found here. One more thing here is that Eov, also perennially called God Shakai, Shin Dalad Yud, throughout the Sefer Eov, he calls HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shaddai. Why is that? For another reason. because the word Shaddai also, that name of God, connotes Sheyomar Litzarosai Dai. He should say enough to my travails. So here too, Naomi is saying enough of my travails. Now we should begin a new chapter, and this new chapter will in fact begin in two psukim. Yes. Oh, on the contrary. Let's see that. Let's see Pasuk Chaf Aleph. You're raising a very interesting point. Ani Maleah Halachti, I went out full. Again, she's bemoaning her faith. She's saying, I went out Shlemus, Maleah. Hereikom Eshivani Gushem, and God brought me back empty, in this state of emptiness. Lama Sikren Ali Naomi, why call me Naomi? Vashem Onabi, God has responded against me. The Targum says that God has testified against me that I have sinned so much. V'shadai herali, and therefore God has done all these bad things to me. Now, a few things here which are important. Chazal note there's a contrast between Iov, who never was misvada. Iov never admitted any sin. He always claimed this is totally irrelevant, totally unjustified. His friends tried to convince him, maybe you did something wrong, perhaps, how do you know? Iov was very confident. He said, I never did anything wrong. Naomi admits, Hashem Onabi. And therefore, Chazal say, Naomi was merited to be a tool of redemption, whereas Iov did not. Since Iov did not say vidui, and she did, that was the difference between the two. The Malbim says that the fact that we hear say again, Loma Sikrenoli, is to show us that she is in order for Naomi to tell us that we should see that retroactively every type of glory and power and prestige which she had previously was really more for her embarrassment, for her shame, for her anguish, because the higher you go, the more terrible it feels when you fall. Besides that, there's another very interesting thing in this pasuk here, which was a couple of interesting things, actually. The word Heira. It says, Shaddai Heira Li. That's very interesting, because when Moshe Rabbeinu complained to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the end of Parshas Bo, he also said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Me'oz basi ledaber b'shimcha, since I came to speak your name, Heira la'amazeh. The same language, Heira. And there, in the next parasha, in Vayera, we know Kadosh Baruch Hu comes to him and says, into the Avos, I showed myself in as Kel Shakai. And to you, Shmi Hashem lo nadati lem, now I'm going to have to show Shem Hashem. So it's an interesting connection between the name Shaddai and the word Heira. What does the word Heira mean, and what does Shaddai mean in this context? So it seems to me that what it means is that darkness must precede light, by definition. The word Heira represents a darkness which comes from Hashem. That's why the letter He precedes the Ra. That means HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings about that darkness in order to afterwards bring the Masok Mimar, in order to afterwards bring the light out of darkness. That Avodah is necessary in order to make Hashem one's Elohim. We know we say at the end of Ne'ilah, Hashem Elohim, it means that we'll recognize that even our slavery, even our suffering, was also part of the master plan, was also part of God's bringing us up. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what? I have to start with Shaddai. I have to start with limited revelation. Only afterwards will we come to complete revelation, the Shmi Hashem Nodati Lohem, only afterwards. So that is something which Naomi is also alluding to at this point. Shaddai Heira Li means the HaKadosh Baruch Hu limited his revelation, and he did things which obviously oppressed me. Perhaps now, although Naomi might not herself realize it, but perhaps now things will turn around and she'll begin the upswing already now. Vatashav Naomi. Naomi returned. Verusa Moavia and Rusa Moavia, the Moabite, Kalasar, daughter-in-law, came with her. Hashava Mistei Moav, she too returned from the fields of Moab. Ve'imabo Beis Lechem, and they came to Beis Lechem, b'tzchilas ketzir sorim, at the beginning of the barley harvest. Rabbi Yosef Lubavitch notes that the pasuk, that the perek, the sefer begins with a famine, and this pasuk ends with a harvest, with the harvest, the barley harvest in Beit Lechem. And there's the pasuk in Hosea says, ziru lachem litztaka, the kitzul fi chesed. sow to yourselves according to tzedakah and harvest according to the amount of chesed which is in it. What does that mean? That means that the reason why there's famine is because there's not enough chesed. And that was the beginning of the Sefer. The beginning of the Sefer was where Elimelech, the rich and mighty Elimelech, did not want to do chesed with his co-religionists, and he ran away to Moab in order to avoid supporting the masses, among other reasons. He wouldn't even daven for them. That's what brings about famine. Now, however, there's plenty. There's food in the land. It's a time of harvest. Something's happened in the meantime. We don't know yet fully what. We'll see more about it in the next parak. But what we do know is that Ruth and Naomi, Ruth vis-a-vis Naomi, represents a pinnacle of chesed when she came back with Naomi, and that's what leads us through the cycle, the 22 psukim, which of course is like the olive base, the 22 letters, from the beginning of the parak, the time of famine, to the end of the pasuk, which because of its chesed, the chesed of Ruth and Naomi, will be a fruitful harvest in more ways than one. Yes. That's right. The only Melchizedek was the lack of chesed. That's right. Now we're going to turn the tables the other way. And the rest of the Sefer is going to describe chesed in detail, as a matter of fact. That's going to be the theme of the rest of the Sefer. That's right. It's a good point. I can't tell you exactly why in this pasuk is stressing it, but I will tell you in a few psukim, and perhaps it's going to hark back to this. But there is, I will give you one answer now and another answer in a few minutes. But the first answer I'll give you now is that there's a contrast here being drawn. Even though she's called, the pasuk is stressing, it's true. She's Ruth HaMoavia, the Moabite Ruth, and she's also called Hashava. What does Shava mean? Shava means returned. Ruth is not returning. Naomi returned, Batosha of Naomi. What does it mean, Ruth is Shava? It's not true. Ruth is coming for the first time. She's not coming back. She wasn't a Yoredet who's coming back now in Aliyah. She's coming in Aliyah for the first time. So Rav Tzadok says that Ruth is called a Shava because her great tzedakah, or great chesed, equates her with a born Jewess. She would displayed such tremendous Jewish traits that she can be called a Shava. A returnee. So the pasuk is perhaps going to say, even though she started out of Moab, she's still a Shava. Granted, she's a Gioris, but she's a Gioris which has Jewish tendencies and Jewish traits. Works out well because there's a whole argument in Kabbalah. Does a Ger have a Jewish soul? It's just that it was dormant. Or does the Ger get his Jewish soul, his or her Jewish soul, when they convert? So this would be, circumstantial evidence to the opinion that they had a Jewish soul, it was just dormant. So that's why she's a Shava, she's returning to her true source. It's interesting that the Ktsir Seorin was taking place at this time, the barley harvest, which of course is the harvest of the Ktsir HaOmer, the harvest for which they harvest the grain for the Omer, which is brought on the second day of Pesach. So I would say that this might even be taking place on the second day of Pesach. And we know that the Medrash says that Naomi and Ruth traveled back to Beis Lechem on Yontif, on Pesach itself, the first day Yontif. So this might be the second day, which was when they were bringing the Korban Omer. What's very interesting, because another momentous occasion which occurred, and many of them happened, we have in the Haggadah, we say over a few of them, but one of the other momentous occasions which happened in the day of the Ktsir Omer was that Haman came into Mordechai and took him on the horse throughout the city of Shushan. That happened on the second day of Pesach. It wasn't on the second day of Pesach, but it was when Mordechai was learning the halachos of Mincha of Korban Omer. That's brought down there in the Medrash, in the Gemara and Megillah. So we see the linkage. What's the linkage? That Omer brings about Geula. Why? So one of my chavrusas, Reb Gershon Shaffel, noted to me that there's an Asiva Sholom. Asiva Sholom is the Slonimer Rebbe, who says that the mincha, that the Omer is called Mincha Chadosh Hashem. It's called the new mincha. And we know that you're not allowed to eat chadosh until the mincha chadosh of the Ktsir Omer. So what we see from this, that the Omer is a time of hischachus, of renewal. So redemption occurs through renewal, through rededication, through reawakening, through renewal, and that's why this was a particularly good time for redemption. Okay, let's start Perek Beis. Ula Nami Modal Isha. Nami had, by the way, in my notes, I'm turning now to page 10. Ula Nami Modal Isha. Nami had an acquaintance for her husband. Now, the Malbim and many of the Mefarshim say the way to actually read this is Ula Nami Modal. Naomi had an acquaintance herself, who was also Modali Isha, who was also an acquaintance of her husband, and he was a friend of both sides of the family. Ish Gibor Chayil, a mighty man of strength. Now, the word Gibor Chayil, all the Mefarshim say, refers back to the word Anshei Chayil in Parshas Yisro. And where it says Anshei Chayil there, it doesn't mean somebody who's a very strong warrior, but it means somebody who's perfect across the board. In fact, the Targum here translates Gibor Chayil, Gibor Tokif Baraisa, person who knew how to learn Torah very well. Later on, in Perek Gimel, Rus is also going to be called an Eshes Chayil. And it's that the Midrash says that it was the marriage of these two giants, these two Chayalim, which can produce a David HaMelech. For those who are into Gematria, Chayil in Gematria is 48, and of course there are Memches Dvarim, 48 ways in which the Torah is acquired, so this alludes to a Shlemus. The Medrash also, tells a very interesting thing about Boazer, which we will come back to probably in the future as well, which is that Boaz was Ibtson. The Shofet Ibtson. And it says in Perish Sefer Shoftim that he had 60 kids, made 60 chasnas. And the Gemara tells us in Bava Basra that all those kids died. Every single one of them. And by now his wife died too. And the Gemara says the reason why they died is because he never invited Manoach to any of the chasnas. We know Manoach was whose father? Shimshon's. And he didn't have any kids. So, according to the Gemara, Ibtson says, hey, he's never going to invite me to any chasnas, so I'm not going to invite him to any chasnas. There's not going to be any reciprocity. So he never invited Manoach to any of the chasnas. So because of that, all of the kids died. So it's because all of his kids died. So there's a very interesting parallel here. Ibtson came from a past which was the antithesis of chesed. He never did any chesed with Manoach. Ruth came from a past which was the antithesis of chesed. She's a Moabite. Why were the Moabites excluded from Klal Yisrael? Because they didn't feed us. Ruth had to undergo in the first parak a tremendous nisoyon of chesed, tremendous test to go back with Naomi despite losing everything, her princess status in the land of Moab, etc. And Boaz now is going to demonstrate his tremendous chesed in how he deals with Ruth. That's very important because this is significant in their overcoming their Yetzirahs and striving for the highest heights of chesed now, and that's what leads them to be able to found the family that they did. And Rabbi Yosef Leibovitz emphasizes that's why this parak tells us in great detail everything about Ruth's chesed and Boaz's chesed. And I want to show that to you inside in his Perush Nachas Yosef, that's on page in the handout, page 5. Here on the bottom left, on page 5. L'chor and nechuzu b'perek, that seems as a parak, they were linked together, harbi pratim tani, many small details. Shame b'em come off, they don't inspire, elevate us at all. Kigon d'var l'chosu sharus, where Rus went, yeshivasa, how she sat, v'achilasa, how she ate, v'chadoim, etc. Ulam, however, ba'ot shanachlu tovsim rakis ha'gedolos, but when we although we normally only take into account the great acts, v'chotzi mishpateinu, when we make our judgments, our pian, based on them, Roe Ayin Shamala Kodesh Baruch Hu sees as Godless Gdula saw them, or an elevated eye should see, sees rather, the greatness of man, Dafka Bakadnu, specifically in the small details. Kedive Chazal, like Chazal say, Ena Kodesh Baruch Hu nosin Gdula Ra'adam, Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't give a man greatness, Acha Bokeh B'davar Katan, until he checks him in a small thing, in a detail. Umimianu Lamedim Davazer, from who do we know this? Me Moshe Rabbeinu. Shacharei shenivcha mimasim gdolim shemsiris nefesh, after he was tested with great tasks, Lo zochel yisgalus Hashem. He only merited the revelation of God. Elachar shenivchan b'davar katan, after having been tested with a small thing. Bitzon Yisrael. How he shepherded Yisrael's sheep. She'anogam b'midbar, that he used to lead them in the desert. K'day lisrachim min ha-gezel, to distance himself from theft. V'tamoshel davar, and the reason is, ki ma'asim gedolim, great deeds, sherishumam nikar, which make a great impression, efshu she'etzem godom ofam, could be the great inspiration of the moment, malhivas adam, gives a person a great flame. Now everybody knows there's a famous quote, I forget from whom, that it's not so hard to die al kiddush Hashem. It's much harder to live al kiddush Hashem. Why? Because to die al kiddush Hashem is a one-time act which requires tremendous heroism and courage. But at the same time, your adrenaline is flowing, you're involved, and you feel transcendent and inspired. But to try and get up every morning in the morning at 6 o'clock for Daf Yomi, when there's no, you know, no great inspiration, certainly no adrenaline, especially not before the coffee, that's hard. To do that day in, day out. Of course, obviously, this is one could draw the opposite perspective as well, but there's an element of greatness which is proven by constant attention to small detail, not wavering in one's constant commitment, and not by great transcendent acts. And that's really what's going on here. For Akamasima Putim, only small deeds. Shane Rom, people don't see them. Veimarichim, nobody estimates them or holds them in high esteem. Vadei Nasim Otar Se'emes. If they're the ones which are done with absolute truth. In other words, they're no negias, no, you know, how is this going to play back in the motion picture someday? And they testify in the great deeds that they too shenovim koremes, came from a source of truth. Besides that, maasim ktanim, small deeds, machriim gam bisavusam, they determine with their occurrence. They determine how great deeds occur as well. Just like mountains begin with small grains of sand, so too things develop. The great things develop from small things. And then he goes on to give the famous Gemara, which says, "Asaka the rispak korva besar, on the side of a wagon, besar was destroyed because the Romans took the side of a wagon from a tree which is going near Beitar, which is meant to be part of a chuppah for a certain chosin and katla, and from there on the whole thing snowballed. So similar things happen to other things. Tani Golta, Tani Golta, Chorbatur Malka, and everybody knows that Kamsa Var Kamsa Chav Yishlaim, from a little machlokes between two people in Yishlaim came out the whole destruction. V'chein Omer, so too they said, Olam Yishlaim Na Odom Min Abay Bein Bin Abonim. President should never favor one child among his other children. For $2 worth of silk, the ksonas passing, which Yosef got more than his other kids, his brothers were jealous of him, and our forefathers went down to Egypt. The descent of Amish of the Mitzrayim was going to happen anyway. Avram is already promised to Avram at the covenant. But when it came to actual practice, Nigarum Agolus Mitzrayim, the goals came about, Aidei Ksonas Apasim, through the Ksonas Pasim. And so we say the opposite. Anybody says something in the name of the original person, maybe Gula Lolam brings redemption to the world. Shenemar says, Vatomer Esther Lamech, Esther told over the plot to Bigson and Teresh, to the king, the Shem Mordechai, named Mordechai. Afa Pi Sheyesh, by the Sefer Megillah, Esther Parsha, Ruko, Shosibos, and Mesovos, even though the Megillah, there are many causes and effects, Shayodim, Ba'a, Gula, and through them the redemption came. Avakama Miras, Dover, B'Shem, Omro, but also saying something in the name of its sayer, the original source. Nishlova is linked, the total Shoshalos in the chain. If not for this link, Yev Shayosh, Shishdaushto, Kolinian, the whole chain wouldn't have come about. Vizo, Klal Gadol, here Rabbi Yosef Livovitz tells us a very big principle. But Sipurei Tanakh, in all stories in Tanakh, Shem Shlemus Organis. You know what that means? An organic whole. The whole prat katan, in every detail, Yeshlo Erech Machria, has a determining value, b'shtalshul is kula on the entire chain of events. Im l'ra, whether for bad, im l'toivar, for good. V'chein marel lo nepo ha-novi Shmuel, here to Shmuel, the author of Sefer Ruth, shows us, ketzan nishtalshul e'dosu shel David, how David's birth came about, by small reasons. Mitoch ma'asim enoshim putim, by small human deeds, l'chora, at first blush, we gradually lift ourselves up to the height of human horizon. And we have to follow behind Ruth, who's going to gather grain in the field. We have to gather all the deeds together, all the small ones, to understand the major ramifications. So there's also special emphasis besides the details here on Ruth's poverty. And it shows us that one should never give up. Really, never give up, no matter how downtrodden a person becomes. And also it says here in this pasuk, Mimishpachas Elimelech, that Boaz was one of the family of Elimelech. And Rashi learns from this that Elimelech came from a very special family. He was Boaz's brother, and they had a couple of other brothers. Rashi says, Elimelech, Salmon the father of Boaz, and Ploni Almoni, and the father of Naomi, were all brothers, and they're all sons of Nachshon ben Aminadav. And this passage is trying to tell us that the fact that they had such a great father, Nachshon, who jumped first into the Yamsuf, didn't save Elimelech when he went from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laretz. Making your Yiridah, you run many risks, no matter how great your Yichus. Okay, let's go to Pasuk Beis. Vatomer Rusa Moavia El Naomi, Rus the Moavite, said to Naomi. Now here, why is she called Rusa Moavia? You asked me this question before. So here I have another answer for you. We're going to see throughout the perek that Ruth was very afraid of racism. There were a lot of racist jokes back then, especially against Moabite women. But seriously speaking, she was under the impression that she would not be allowed to marry a Jewish man. Because the drusha of Moabi v'lo Moabis, Amoni v'lo Amonis, was not a commonly known thing. So she was aware that she was going to be insulted, looked down upon, and outcast in Jewish society. Nonetheless, despite the fact that she knew she was going to be an outcast, Vatomer Ruth Amavi El Naomi, Ruth said to Naomi, El Chono Asodeh, I will go out to the field. I'll go out and pick up the food for us. You don't have to come. I'll do it myself. Even though Naomi was from a Choshev Beis Lechem Mishpacha, and she was a stranger, she's going to do it. Go and do it. V'alakta b'shibolim. The Malbim says a beautiful pshat here. She only went after leket, not after peah. Leket is what falls down when you're gathering the grain. Peah is a corner of the field. Why? Because it says that peah everybody fights over. Leket, there wasn't as much fighting. So even though there was much more stuff in peah, it was a full corner of the field, nonetheless, she's only going to go after leket, where she doesn't have to start competing with everybody else. And besides that, she says, Achar Asher Emtzel Chain, behind somebody who I will find favor be'ain of in his eyes. Why? Even though technically she can take a leket from anywhere, anybody's field, anybody who drops a grain, it goes to a poor person, nonetheless she wants to go only to somebody who would not be miserly about it or look askance. Because there's a pasuk in Mishlei, Chof Gimel, which tells us, Al tilcham es lechem ra'ayin. Don't take the bread of somebody who's miserly. Now mystically, I'll tell you what that means. Mystically it means that the property of an individual reflects the personality of an individual in a mystical way. In other words, if you're a miser, your clothes also reflect your miserliness. Not just because they're disheveled, but mystically they have that characteristic in which you do. Now, this is of course a wild concept for us, but there is such a concept brought down, and perhaps that this is why Shlomo HaMelech says, Al tilcham es lechem ra'ayin. But the pashup shot is that it's going to cause friction. It's going to cause dissension. It's going to cause difficulties. Even if he has to give you the leket, it's not worthwhile collecting his field. Go to somebody's field who's going to look at it in a happy way, rejoicing at the possibility of fulfilling the mitzvah. So she very clearly tells us that she's going to do exactly the right thing with the exact chesed towards Naomi, which she displayed in Perek Aleph. Vatomela, Naomi says to her, L'chibiti, go my daughter and collect. Pasuk Gimel. Vatelech, she went. Vatovo, and she came. What does it mean she went and she came? So Rashi says she was very, very careful. She was a real yekka. When she went out to the fields were distant to the city, from the city, so she made herself a path with signs on the way. She went there and she went back, making a path in order to know exactly how she could retrace her steps without losing her way. Obviously, she was new in town, so she was very meticulous to do things the right way. Vatalakit Basad, and she went and she flew, she gathered in the field, Achrei HaKotzrim, behind the harvesters. Now, she was the only one there, because everybody else says the Malbim was out at the Peah. So she was the only one pursuing record at this point. Vaikar Mikra, and her coincidence occurred, Chalkas Basad, and she came to the portion of the field which belonged to Boaz, Asher Mishpachas Elimelech, from the family of Elimelech. That's a fascinating thing here, today, which I have to tell you. Which is that the Malbim says, the Malbim and Rabbi Yosef Lifetz have a little bit of a disagreement here. The Malbim, of course, was the great commentator of the 19th century. Rabbi Yosef Lifetz was a Talmud of Slabodka in the 20th century, early 20th century, mid 20th century. And, of course, as time went by, thinkers became more influenced by Hasidim and Mekubalim, even though the Malbim was also a Mekubal, but he was a Mekubal of the old school, not of the Hasidic school. Now, I've told you perhaps a couple of times, I don't know how many people have heard this from me, but there's a very, very basic machlokas between the classic Mekubalim and the Hasidish Mekubalim as to whether all incidents and events in this world happen as a result of Hashgacha or not. Is there a divine element of guidance in any single event which happens in the world, or only in major events which happen to major players in the world? It's a big machlokas. And the Rambam holds that it's only major events to major players. Certainly there's no hashgach on flies. And other mekubalim hold that way. The Hasidim, however, hold... I should say other Mekubalim, the Rambam's not a Mekubal, but they're Mekubalim all that way. The Hasidim however hold that every event, if a frog eats a fly in a pond, that too is as a result of Hashgacha. Everything. There are no exceptions. So here they both agree that Vayikar Mikrea means that this coincidence was brought about by God. It was her coincidence. However, the Malbim says that this is one of the events which is cataclysmic in nature and happens to special people. And that's why this was a time when it wasn't a coincidence, when God was Mashgiach. Rabbi Yosef Lifetz says, all events occur as a result of Hashgacha. There is no true Mikre. So the Maharal is saying, sometimes there's true Mikre, true coincidence. This is not. Rabbi Yosef says, there is no such thing as coincidence, and this just like any other coincidence is not really a coincidence. Peter has made it both saying the same thing, that here there was destiny involved here. Rabbi Yosef adds that you can daven for a mikre to come out properly, since there are no coincidences. In fact, Eliezer, when he died, when he came to look for Rivka, he said, Hakreino lefanai hayom. And that means that he said that which other people perceive as coincidence, I know it's not. So therefore, bring me the right thing, bring me Rivka.
It is an unusual term. It's almost contrary to what you would expect to find in that. To say that it's such an important event.
It's a mikre. Right. It's only, well, that's why they dash in mikre ha. That there's that kamatei at the end. It was a mikre shalah. In other words, that this was not, but this was destiny. But it's not so rare. Rabbi Yosef, by the way, I have all the Rabbi Yosef Lifetz commentary on this parak photocopied here, so you can take a look at yourself. He brings down other places in Tanakh where the words such as by Bilam, for instance. Right. That's also not coincidence. So many times it says Vayikar, it means something which Asher Korcha is by Amalek. Vayikar is by Bilam. So by Bilam, so all these places, it seems like a coincidence. Whatever something would seem to an outsider like a coincidence, but an insider knows there's Yad Hashem, that too can be connoted by the word Vayikar. Not necessarily, but it's possible.
Does the term Mikra occur anywhere in Mikilat Sester? Because all that is a series of things.
That's a good point. I don't know if it does. I didn't look in a concordance here. Sure, easy to find out. I'll have to try and remember to take a look. Oh, that's a good point. That all also looks like Mikra. Okay, let's do it. That's the end of this pasuk. Yeah, that's basically it. Let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk down. Vine Boaz bami beis lechem. Boaz comes from beis lechem. Vayom, and he said lakotrim to the harvesters, Hashem imachem, God is with you. Vayom lo yivrech Hashem, and they said, may God bless you. Now, there's a lot to say on this pasuk. First of all, the Mepharshim say there were two novel things which happened. A, Boaz was a rich man. He never came to the fields himself. Today, he came to the fields. Why? Because of the second reason. There was a special takana made today on this day, which was that Mevarchim es chavero b'shem. Whenever you see a friend, you give him the blessing with the Shem Hashem. Now, those of you who were in Bnei Akiva in your youth perhaps know that they used to write, I don't know if they still do, on all their flyers, Hashem Imachem, when they used to write letters to Chavirim. Well, it comes from this pasuk in Rus. Hashem Imachem, and then Yirech Hashem is the response. So the Malbim and Rabbi Yosef both say the same thing, explaining it. Let's take a look here on the Malbim at the bottom. On pasuk Dal Chazal Amru, in the second line, Chazal Moshe Boaz Beis Dino, Boaz is a member of the Sanhedrin. And he and his Beis Din Tiknu made this takona, Shusholim Shlom Chaveram, that they should ask people should greet each other b'shem with the name of God. Vayab Ba'atas Sanhedrin, and this was the council or the suggested Sanhedrin. K'mosh Kosem Brachos Samachimu, the Chitema Boaz Midaita Avid, and that brings there that maybe Boaz did it on his own. So then it brings a ride from Patzkut Shoytin that this was God's master plan. Came Las Kirshem Shomim Ba'atol, because we should not mention God's name in vain. K'mosh Kosem B'Sifra. The low lema l'Hashem korban, a person shouldn't mention God's name with the korban v'chulei. Ach birosam us, but what do they see then? Shayor b'neim gezel. There was a lot of theft, mishpat and the tzedek, and there was corruption in the justice system. The galus shoftim l'shomo, and they didn't even listen to their judges. K'mo shekosva it says vayhi b'me'er shvot shovi chazal dash, and the word vayhi means woe. It was a time of great woe and corruption. For Kasher Nisman Boaz the Shofu, when Boaz became a Shofet, Tikin, he made a Takona specifically, Shusholim Shlom Chaver B'Shem, to mention God's name in conversation, Likvo Libom, to embed in their hearts this concept, Ki Hashem Yishamai Mashkif Aleim, that God is looking upon them, Ba'al Shlomam, and on their plan, and on they, how they conduct themselves, Ushloma Kibbutz, and society's peace, Mishtatef, will thus be linked, Imashkochas Hashem, with the control of Hashem, at Hashem anikra shalom, so God is called peace. That's why in our day and age we don't say Hashem Alechem, but rather what do we say nowadays? Shalom Aleichem, right? Mishtatef im shalom shebenol chaveru, he joins in the peace between man and his fellow man. Gami Solus is also supposed to arouse them. Sheyishva Hashem and Negdon Tomi, to constantly think of God. Vegan advarim shebeno leben reyim, also in word matters between themselves and their friends. Udrisha Shlom, Shlom Tavosam, and dealing with their own personal peace and their own personal welfare. So a couple of things here which I want to add to this. First of all, let's look at what Rabbi Yosef Lipovitz says on this. On page 7, he links this into our story directly. Have little b. He says, Takona Gdoyla Zu, this great Takona, Hichnisa Eifam Sochaim is brought into Am Yisrael Shita Chadosha, a new approach. Beruach HaTorah, in the spirit of Torah, Uberuach Avas Abrios, in the spirit of love one fellow man, Uberuach HaKoras Gdulaso, and in the spirit of recognizing the greatness, the Chiboso, and preciousness, Shal Adam, of man, Vasher Adam, in that which he is a man. V'zehu gam kivuno shel Sefer Rus, that's also the intent of Sefer Rus. Shekol Ikaro Bolamdenu, its entirety comes to teach us. Godo Maloso, the supreme level, Shomidas HaChesed of Merim Chesed. Habanuya, what's that built on? Hakoras Malas Adam, knowing the high level of mankind. The Chole Yisod Shomachos Beis David, all of the foundation of the house of David. Umachos HaMashiach, and the kingship of the Mashiach. Nish'an is based on the foundation shel takonazu, of this takona. V'umalei rucha shel takonazu, if not for the spirit of this takona, miyodeim efshar yosha shofet yovo b'dvorim, who knows if Boaz, the high and mighty judge, could have started a conversation imanar nachriya with a non-Jewish gioris lady. V'lo, not only that, shagam iso soli isha, that he should also marry her. Normally this would be incomprehensible and unimaginable. Such a step required great preparation. Even the nation should oppose such a step. If not for the great change in spirit, which they began to instill, on the concept of this novel idea, this true idea, the greatness of one's fellow man, and the destiny of creation. Since they had this takona of bringing Hashem into their daily life, therefore they were prepared, to recognize good deeds from wherever they came, even from another nation. They recognized the good in people who came from non-Jewish nations. Nimso sha takona azos. This takona nishlava is put b'sefer Megillah into this Megillah fishai sabichlaud v'ran, because it was one of the things shichshir which brought about this atotzah sofi, the final result. V'afhi nirmuzah b'milas hinei, and that's alluded to in the word hinei v'nekomar, which means to say v'nei boaz ba mimosha v'sanedrin, boaz came from the seed of sanedrin v'takona chadoshima, with this new takona. That's why the things happened like they did. And all this is mentioned almost in passing. Because the influence of this takana was hidden. It's a beautiful shot he's saying here. He's saying that only through bringing God into daily relationships were they able to achieve the objectivity to realize that a high and mighty shofet like Boaz should realize that a low and degraded person like Ruth can be suitable for him to marry and to start the whole fad chain of kingship of Beis David. So that's why this takana was so integral to the Megillah, and you obviously can tell how such a thing is sorely lacking nowadays. Maybe we should reinstitute it. But that's what it means. Hashem Elchem Yivrecha Hashem was in order to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shevitzi Hashem LeNegdi Tamid into one's daily life and into one's daily cognition. I want to mention, because I didn't see anybody else mention this, I'm kind of surprised, that I think that this takana was based to a certain extent on a pasuk in Shmos, Chav Chav Aleph. There's a Shmos there, the pasuk says, B'chol Mokam Asher Ask Hira Shmi Avoi Lecha Uverechticha. Every place where I mention my name, God says, I will come there and I will bless you. So what does it mean, I mention my name? So Chazal tell us, all of the Mefarshim there say, every place where I give you permission to mention my name. Now where do we have permission to mention God's name? God's real name, the ineffable name. Where do we have permission to pronounce it? No, only in the Beis HaMikdash. Only in the Beis HaMikdash. So they would pronounce it then, but where in the Beis HaMikdash? So here, Boaz was making a takana to bring a little bit of a Beis HaMikdash everywhere. Now, it's not clear from the pasuk whether he had them actually use the shame Yudke Vavke. Probably not. He probably had them use the shame Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. But this was he was trying to invoke the presence of God throughout Klal Yisrael, wherever two Jews would meet each other. They'd give each other this greeting, and would bring the Shekhinah, the Divine Presence, at least in a small fashion, there. And that's what I would say to you, Hashem Imachem, which would mean that I'm invoking God's presence among us. And then, you would say, Yivarecha Hashem, which is, I would be giving B'chol Mekom Asher Azkir Shmi, I'm mentioning God's name. And you would see, Uverechticha, that the bracha should now occur, now that God is among us, He should give us a blessing. One other thing is that, something Reb Hirsch Eisenberg told me today, is that the word shame, where does the word shame come from? It comes from the word shom. Shom means something higher, distant, elevated. So, and so shame normally depicts something different than myself. I give it a name, I describe it. So, to be maskir as Hashem means to bring it closer, to bring it down here. Taking that which is shom and bringing it Khan. So that's what Boaz's point was. It's interesting that here it's the Targum says, Memra Dashem Besadchon, that Hashem Achem is Memra Dashem, God's words, because of course to say Hashem Imachem, if you take it literally, gives God a form. It says, okay, God's up there, let's pull him down. So that's why the Targum, in order to avoid giving God any form or shape or any human characteristic, says the name of the word of God will be with us. But then it says Yevarchinoch Hashem. Of course, the bracha comes from God, without, and there's no chashash, no suspicion of giving God some human characteristics there. So there, the Targum does not use the term Meimro Hashem. Okay, so let's go on to pasuk. Vayomer Boaz. Boaz said, "Lenaro Anitzava Kosim," to his the kid who was in charge, or the boy who was in charge of the harvesters, "Lemia Nara Azos," to who is this Nara? To who does this maiden belong? So Rashi brings down here the famous Chazals that which I'm sure you're aware of, that she didn't stoop, she kneeled down, which was more tsanua, and she knew the halacha only to take two kernels or two stalks and they fell. The three was not leket. She saw that this was a wise and humble woman. And that's why I inquired who this person was. That's Rashi. The Malbim has a totally different spin. The Malbim says, if you take a look back, a look at the Malbim, it's fascinating. On page 3, he says that he was asking, Kasher Ra Boaz this Ruth, Melaketes Basada, when he saw Ruth collecting in the field, Fanel Morim Harbin, he saw she had gathered a lot. Because she was there all day, and everybody else was out by the payah. So he thought, this woman, she must be the wife of one of my harvesters. And one of the harvesters must have brought her in, kicked out all the poor people, and had her collect all day. A chutzpah! And that's why I was asking, what is this business? How did this lady get here to be the only one, have a monopoly in collection, and collect all this stuff? Terrible. So according to Rashi, he was asking because he saw what a wonderful woman she was. According to the Malbim, she was suspicious that she was actually not at all honest. So Rashi is tracking the Medrash. Yeah, the Malbim is tracking Pshat, what he perceives to be Pshat. But now I want to show you a third perspective, which is Rabbi Yosef Lipovitz's perspective. If you turn back to where we just were on page 7, he puts in the context of the previous pasuk. Lamia Narazo, Shelosu Shabaz, the question was, Lodis Orora was only aroused on a day Pulosu Shorus Rus, because the activities of Rus are supposed by cause of a kodim which I mentioned in previous pasuk. Moshe Chazal, Chazal tell us, the Chidaka Shabaz, the Shobanara, does Boaz ask about ladies, but rather he saw how special she was. Elosh Rabban Agosa Midas Tova, she saw good meals. Kamvor Lev. I've explained before. Vinitzayel Fainas Satmuna, but now Rabbi Yosef draws a beautiful picture. Let's draw the picture here. Boaz Atomi Moshava Sanhedrin. Boaz is coming now from the Sanhedrin, where they made this great Nutzakona. Shisham Dono Irina Sador, where they just had a great discussion, a convention, a conference on the degradation of the generation, and the distortion of the divine image of mankind. The name is Galil Fonav, and now it comes before him. I can't read that word. Mare. Ashalo Pilalo, an image which you would not have dreamed of seeing. Shinaronia, that there's a poor girl, Mlaketis Basada, gathering in the field, Vyesh Bederchli Kitosa, and there is in her collection, according to Rashi in the Medrash, Srizus, diligence, Utsnius, and modesty, the Chachman, wisdom, Chachma Satori, the wisdom of Tori, Srachkus, Minagez, staying away from theft, Vimisanin Ladas, he wants to check out, Mi Amoinis Hazos. Who is this the anonymous woman? Hamakshima Meilea, who on her own fulfills as Amidos Analos the lofty mitos, Asherichafu, which were just floating Leine Manhige Ador, but through the by the eyes of the leaders of the generation. This is what they dreamed of. This is what they wanted to create, and here he sees it. It's like a dream come true to see such a woman, right? So that's what he wanted to know. He was inspired to ask, what's going on here? Okay, let's go to Pasuk Vav. Excuse me. Pasuk Vav and Zayin, the Malbim Bayana Nara Nitzav al Kosim, so the boy standing there with the harvesters responded, Vayom, and he said, Nara Moaviyahi. She is a Moabite woman, Hashavah, returning Naomi Mistay Moab from the field of Moab. So the Malbim explains that this in longest lines. In other words, he's trying to say, no, well, I should read Pasuk Zayin to get with this. But Toman, she said, Alaktona, I will collect here, Vasafti Bamarim, and I will gather that which I collect. I will bundle myself into sheaves. Achrei Akotzim, behind the harvesters, Vatova Vataman, she came and she stood here, Me'oz HaBoker, from the morning, Vadat, until now, Zeshivto HaBaisman, she just rest a little bit in the little house. They had a hut out in the field for people to rest in. So according to the Malbim, he was saying this in order to praise her. He was saying, no, she's very industrious, and she came on her own, and she's doing everything okay. Some other Mefarshim wanted to say that he was being negative. He was saying, she's only a Moabite, she's not valuable, etc. But each Mefarish puts a spin on these two psukim the way they want. Yes. Back and forth, That's true, yeah. There are a lot of description of her activities. You're right, it could be that if that there probably was connotations for each and every one of these things, probably Midrashim, which we were lost, that all these details were very important, and we know a little bit of them, but not all of them, but you're probably right, everything was very significant, and we're paying very great attention to the detail, and at one point, there were probably Midrashim which explained each and every word, which we no longer have. But there is Malcolm Lee's guy there. You can actually come with your own shotim perhaps and say what they are. Right? But it's a good point. I didn't think about it, but you're right. It's clear that there's some connotation to all those verbs there. Vayor bozo borus, boz said to tuturus, halo shamat biti. Oh, the tup shotim here. The mom says, listen, you heard what this guy said. He likes you. It's worthwhile for you to stay here. According to the Targum, what it means is, listen to what I'm about to tell you. Alo Shmat Biti, listen to this. I'll tell you a little kot b'steacher. Don't go to collect in some other field. Vagamlo Savori, in a field which belongs to somebody else. Vagamlo Savori means that, and I have many fields, stay in this field, it's worth your while. Why? Because my boys like you. They'll be nice to you. The Kotit Bokinim Narosai, and stay together with the girls, because you also have girl workers. For Tzniyas, stay together with the girls in my field. There's an interesting thing here, a couple of interesting things. The Targum says that Gam Lo Tavori Mizeh, Af Lo Tavori Mikol Lemeza Luma Achrisa. Don't go to any other nation. Why? Because according to Targum, we won't have time to see tonight, but we're going to see next week that the Targum learned the next few psukim as a discussion between Ruth and Boaz as to the halacha Moavi v'lo Moavis. So Boaz knows that she's afraid, which, you know, she's been called Moavia, he sees she's been subject to all these racist comments, so he says, don't go anywhere else, stay with us. Don't leave to any other nation. In a similar vein, the Medrash says, Acher means don't go to Elohim Achirim, to other gods. Stay with Keli Van Veyu. Stay with us. He foresaw that this situation will lead to Ze Keli Van Veyu. And Veyu means a Nove, a Beis HaMikdash, according to some Mefarshim, an oasis, literally. So he saw that this is going to be bringing about the ultimate oasis for God. Shlomo is going to build the Beis HaMikdash as a result of this. Stay with us. This is the way to go. Enayich Basadeh Sheik Tzoru. Your eyes should stay in this pasuk test. Your eyes should stay in this field where they harvest. And you should follow them. Stay with the girls on their side. And I told the boys, they shouldn't touch you. And if you get thirsty, you should go to their kalim, to their vessels. And you can draw water from the water which they drink. So the Malbim has a very elaborate interpretation why the water was so significant. It's it's a little bit unlikely, but I'll tell it to you anyway. So it's late, I don't want to go to the next pasuk, so I'll just tell you this pshat here. It says that later on in Sefer Shmuel, there's a time when it says David, so I think it's one of the Haftorahs, David was very thirsty. It said, Mi avili mayim, who's going to bring me mayim from the bear in Beit Shemesh? And three of his great warriors went to get it, and they brought it back a great peril because there are a lot of plishtim around Beit Lechem, they're still there. a lot of plishtim around Beis Lechem at the time, and he didn't drink it when they brought back the water. Because they put themselves into sakonat tefashos, he felt guilty drinking the water. So Chazal darshan that pasuk is talking not necessarily about waters kipshuto, but about waters of Torah, and that the Sanhedrin was in Beis Lechem. And that David had a difficult shiloh which he needed the Sanhedrin to resolve. So the Malvin puts the pshat in that medrash together, pshat in that those psukim, together with the medrash in the psukim, and he says that there was a special be'er in Beit Lechem which the Sanhedrin would drink from. Special, very clear waters. And since the Sanhedrin would drink from it, it wasn't Tsukapas, it wasn't proper for women to go and use that be'er. So normally women would not be allowed to go to that be'er where the Sanhedrin was going. So, but the Na'arim, the boys, would go there before they went out to work in the morning. They would go to that special be'er and they would take the waters for themselves. So here, and of course, once they took the water for themselves, they're not going to give it to the women. So here he's telling her, Bruce, a special favor for her, that special water from that special be'er of the Sanhedrin in Beit Lechem, she'll be able to drink from. The boys are going to have to give it to her to drink. All right, we'll have to stop here. Next week we'll take up the discussion of Moavid, Lo Moavid, in the next few episodes.
Isn't it a little interesting that the women pick the
and
the men are drawing the water?
Role reversal. That's right.